Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of, did man evolve or was he created by God?
Absolutely impossible, simply because of what the scripture says. First of all, naturalistic. Man and evolution says that natural chance accounts for all things. The Bible says, no, it's supernatural, that God is the personal creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Two are incompatible. Secondly, and again, if somebody can ever explain this to me, man, I watch Bill Nye. I was watching Bill, and I said, Bill Nye, the science guy, maybe he could explain it. Nobody can explain this. How in the world can you get life out of non-life? It's scientifically impossible to do. And so I'd rather just go ahead and believe that there is a God who is eternal life himself. And that this God who is eternal life gave life to everything else. It's a whole lot less complicated, man, for me to believe this. And not that I need to be it less complicated. I just need to be a fact. I just need to be true. But, you know, the evolution, man, you got to put faith in a lot of different things happening. And the chance, you know, evolution is all chance. And you got to put faith in chance. Well, let me move on. The current status. According to evolution, all things are progressively evolving. Well, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created in the heavens and earth, and then he explained how he did it, and then he put a period on it and said, done. There's nothing else progressing. It's it. Man's original composition. According to evolution, it says that man came out of some primordial slime. Right? I mean, that's what, if you follow it all the way back. Well, we read Genesis 2:7, and what does it tell us? That man was taken out of the dust of the earth. That's how God created him. Man's image. We see that according to evolution, man evolved out of lower forms of life. Man, I was watching Bill Nye, the science guy, and somebody asked him, do you believe that we are related to a banana? I got it on tape. I can show you. He said, yes, we're all related to bananas. So again, what is his theory? His theory is that we came out of this slime and, you know, came up through and became a plant and then a tree and then, you know, an animal and progressed into man. Well, whether than believe all that, I'm just going to believe what Genesis 1:26 and 27 says, that I was created in the image of God. That God created me in his image and that I did not evolve out of some slime. And then finally, transitions. We see that according to evolution, man and animals transition from other species. So a dog becomes a cat, and a cat becomes a dog, and a dog becomes a horse, all right? And so that's what evolution says. But in Genesis, it says that God created everything after its kind. And that one kind cannot go to another kind. All right. So let's just, in the time I have remaining, let me share a couple of things with you. First of all, God said that he created everything after its kind. Now, I know that you might not be able to see that. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, and verse 20 And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. And then in verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters bring forth abundantly after their what? After their kind. And every winged fowl, that's the bird, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then verse 23, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, I don't know how many times in there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, God mentions different things, and he said it was made after its kind. Now, there's no evolution there. You know, that's just straight out fact, that God created it after its kind. So the evolutionists will try to throw a monkey wrench on you, and they will say, well, we see signs of evolution. We can look at evolution. If you go to that next slide, we can see in bacteria and all these other things, we can see signs of evolution. But let me give you two words. Again, not trying to go deep, but trying to keep it simple. Microevolution and macroevolution. What is microevolution? That is transition within a species. So you see that first one right there? You can have all kind of dogs, right? So the evolutionists say, well, look, you know, you got evolution, you know, this dog becoming this dog and that dog and that dog. And they point out all that and say, look at this. Here goes proof of evolution. These different dogs, right? But one thing you will not see in there, you will not see a dog becoming a horse. Or you don't see a cat becoming a dog. Because there are no, you know, they have found millions of fossil records and not one transitional form. So what is a transitional form? Transitional form, you know, you got a fish being, right? A fish becoming a reptile. They haven't found it, man. They haven't, you know, what does it say? Wanted. Transitional form. If you can find a reptile becoming a bird, or if you can find a frog becoming a fish. And now again, with millions and millions of fossil records that we have at our disposal, not one transitional form. Not one. Why? Because God created everything. Somebody help me. After its kind.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church. We will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
So we do believe in microevolution, that there can be transitions within kinds, but we don't believe in macroevolution, that you can't jump from one kind to the next. Go to the next thing. The second thing. So here goes. I'm giving you four scriptures that shoot evolution in the head. I mean, not from the Bible. Now, evolutionists will argue with you, but I'm saying from the Bible. As a Christian, you ought to know these four that I'm giving you. The second one is that we are created in the image of God. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God says this. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Everything else, God said that he created it after its kind. Man is the only creature that it says in the Word of God that was created in the image of God. That when God created us, he put a stamp on us that he didn't put on anything else. And so we haven't evolved from some lower life form, but we were created by the very hand of God. And notice that a lot of the other things, it said that God spoke into existence. But for man, he said, "This is too precious." And he reached down into the dust of the earth and created man in his likeness and image. And so what does it mean to be in the image of God? It's a spiritual image that we can communicate with God, spirit to spirit. Now, God's spirit is omnipresent. His spirit is everlasting. But we can communicate with God in our spirit because we are spiritual beings. We can communicate with God unlike the animals. We have a moral image that the reason that we know the difference between right and wrong is because God has put within us the moral idea of what's right and what's wrong. We have an intellectual image. You can train animals to do a lot of things, but look who's doing the training. When you can train animals to do many things, but animals will never reach the intelligence of man because as Abraham told the rich man, there's a great gulf fixed between the two. There's a great gulf fixed. The authoritative image. God gave man authority over the animals. He didn't make them out of the animal. He gave them authority over the animals. So you see, my brothers and sisters, evolution in the Bible is completely incompatible. So don't run that to me, well, you could be a creationist and an evolutionist. No, you can't. You can't. It's two completely different things. A social image. God is a social being. What did he say? Let us make man in our image. That there was a Trinity there. There was a triune God that was there, that fellowshipped among them. And so God created us. And when God created, took the rib out of Adam, he was creating what? A companion. Somebody to fellowship with. There's a social image. I'm giving you some scripture. I'm trying to help you out this morning. The first thing is after its kind. The second thing, we are created in God's image. The third thing, I like this right here. Psalm 139, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." That God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. You have been handcrafted by God fearfully and wonderfully. And I don't have time to go over all this, but just look at the different body parts and how they all work together. But the one thing that I wanted to point out, and I've said this before, is the human eye. Look at the human eye. First of all the different parts of the human eye. And then look at what the eye does. It aims automatically. It focuses automatically. It adjusts automatically. It functions in complete dark. It functions in the bright sunlight. It makes over 100,000 separate motions every day. And you know what the eye does while we sleep? It's still at work, repairing itself. Now, how in the world? Somebody calculated it out, and I can't even remember. I've been doing so much studying and research on this, but somebody actually calculated it out, the chance that the human eye came about by, the fact that the human eye came about by chance. It's nearly impossible. It's nearly impossible for the human eye to come to into existence apart from a divine creator, apart from an almighty God. And that's just the eye. You know, we haven't even got into, you know the thing that marvels me is that, and I know y'all get tired of hearing my testimony, but I got to share it. I got to share my testimony. When I had that leg infection, and the doctors couldn't find out, and they just kept cutting holes in my leg, and my leg looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. I mean, I had quarter-size holes about a half an inch deep. I got pictures of them, and I was going to put them up there, but I didn't want to gross anybody out. And some of y'all say, well, thank you for not doing that, Pastor Glaze. But the thing that absolutely amazed me, four holes in my leg, the flesh came back, and the skin grew over. There was a hole there. The flesh came back, and the skin grew over. But God, only God could design and orchestrate something like that. Something like that could not happen by random chance. Why? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the psalmist said, and that my soul knows right well. Well, let me hit the last thing. Let me hit the last thing that I want to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So you got these scriptures. So you need to hold tight to these scriptures, brothers and sisters, because these will help you if you ever get out there and start doubting creation and by the hand of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 39. Paul said, he put it like this. Now, I don't know how much simpler you can make it. I don't know how much simpler you can make it. All flesh is not the same flesh. Can I get an amen? Thank you. There is one kind of flesh of men. Let's stop right there. One kind of flesh of men. Bible's very clear. One kind of flesh of men. Another flesh of beasts. Another flesh of fish. And another flesh of bird. Now, I don't know, but it seems to me that Paul must have been anticipating this evolutionary debate. And so God inspired him to put this in there so that if we were a little confused in the Old Testament, that when we moved into the New Testament with this verse right here, there should be no confusion. That there's one kind of flesh, of men, of beasts, of fish, and of birds. Different kind of flesh. Now, there's something, and I don't want to go too deep on this, but I would just encourage you, those of you who have an inquiring mind, to go study DNA. Go study DNA. Everybody has DNA in their body. Even plants have DNA. So let me say that. Even plants have DNA. Now, what does DNA determine? Your DNA, somebody said that there's enough information in DNA that you could go to the moon and back 500 times. On these little pinhead-type cells in our body, that there's enough coding, there's enough information on there that you could go to the moon and back 500 times. That's deep. Now, what does your DNA determine? Your DNA determines what color your hair is going to be. Your DNA determines what color your eyes are going to be. Your DNA determines what sex you're going to be, whether you're going to be male or female. And your DNA determines what species you're going to be. And so evolutionists say, well, you know, they say 90% of the DNA that man has in his body is the same that the monkeys have, 90%. Okay? Oh, okay, that's a good argument. You know, we got 90% of the same DNA. All right. But as they study it out, they find that it's even less. It's 70% actually that they have of DNA. But you know what? The monkey could have 99.9% of the same DNA that a man has. But you know what? There's going to be that there's going to be that less than 1% that says you are a monkey and I'm a man. You're still going to be a monkey. Somebody said that for the longest time, People have tried to make a man out of a monkey, but here's a case where a man has been made into a monkey with this foolishness. So, you know, Paul, because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he didn't need DNA. All he needed was God. And what did God tell him? There's one flesh of men, one flesh of beasts, one flesh of fish, and one flesh of bird. And this is it, saints. So as I close, I have my questions, right? I have my questions. I have my questions. So the reason I did this is so that you would have these, and I pray that you would take this information and you would talk it over with your kids and your grandkids, right? That's why I put this, and that's why I put these questions in there, because they're being bombarded with this. And so you know what we need to do? Unless at some point we begin to slow down the information that they're being bombarded with and get them to think a little differently, you know, they're going to begin to accept a lot of this foolishness. And so I put these questions in there for us to maybe sit down and have dialogue with the young people. All right? So the first one is this. How can you get life from non-life? Can't do it. Can't do it. The second is, how can random chance, how can chance account for the multi-complex living systems that are in our human body? And so my one example that I showed you was what? The eye. That's just one example. How can chance account for that? The next one, why has there been no discoveries of transitional species? If man transitioned from an ape, how come, you know, okay, they had Peking man, they had Java man, they had Nebraska man, and then they had Lucy, right? All these, they said, were missing links until they start finding out that one was the tooth. They built a whole family on the extinct tooth of a pig. They built little Piltdown baby, daddy Piltdown, mama Piltdown, all on the extinct tooth of a pig. And so all these supposedly missing links were all frauds. Every last one of them was a fraud. And some of them, people actually concocted to try to support their theory of evolution. Why do you got to do that? Because there have been no missing links found. And so that was kind of my fourth one. And so why can we observe evolution within a species? And that's the different kinds of cats. You know, we can see evolution within a species, but we can't see evolution from one species to another. That a cat, there's no indication that a cat can become a dog or that a cat became a dog, all right? Then the last one. This is for the ladies. This is for the ladies. If evolution is true, why do mothers still only have just two hands? You should be growing someone else. So there should at least be a little something starting to pop out, right? All right. Amen. All right. So in conclusion, false evolution is when we turn a monkey into a man. True evolution is when we turn a man into a child of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Here by Chance or Creator from our series titled The Great Showdown, God versus Man from the Book of Genesis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? Or call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that will be made on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you,